Welcome into the Chris Ramey Show on Scoops at DannyMac.com. It is the Wednesday, February 10th, 2021 edition of the program. Pebble Beach starts tomorrow. So we're going to talk a little golf with our guy Rick Gaiman from RickRungood.com. He's going to be with me just a couple of minutes to give us his take on how you should fill out your DFS lineups, your betting card, your one and done this week. No Dustin Johnson as DJ withdraws from the field. So Rick Gaiman joins me in just a couple of minutes. All right, yesterday, Yadier Molina meeting with the media, along with Cardinals President of Baseball Operations, John Mozeliak, after Yadi agreed to a one-year deal to return to the Cardinals.
I think it was fun for me. I mean, obviously for them too. I mean, it's a fun period. We got a bunch of stuff going on. I got a bunch of stuff going on back here in Puerto Rico with my basketball team. I'm playing the winter ball. But it was fun. I mean, it was fun to be part of the free agent process. But on my mind always was San Luis first choice. And we did everything we could to get the deal done. I'm happy to be back again.
Molina joins Adam Wainwright as two linchpins, two foundations of the organization who are going to be back this year.
I think Adam was a big part. He was definitely. We test every other day. We stay in touch every other day. I'm asking, hey, what are you doing? Something happened? Any news? Any update? We stay in touch the whole winter, the whole off season. But it was a really big part why I signed back. I love Bueno. He's my brother. Like my brother. And then when you add Arenado there, I mean, why not come back? I mean, I feel good about this team. Like I said, hopefully we stay healthy and get the job done.
And right in the middle of the Wainwright and Yadier Molina signings, the acquisition of Nolan Arenado.
It was great. I mean, obviously when you add Arenado on our lineup, great news. I mean, what type of player he is, what he brings to the table, it's amazing. I mean, I'm still one of the best players on the game, so I'm happy for us to have him on the same field. Happy for me to have him on the corners. I can't wait to play with him on the same field.
Greg Amsinger of MLB Network joined me yesterday.
What Nolan Arenado brings is a superstar that has the grit of a player like David Eckstein, a guy that David Eckstein didn't have natural talent, right? But he made the most of what he had. Nolan Arenado has more talent than Jim Edmonds ever had, looking like he was just comfortable and dozing off in center field winning gold gloves. He's that immensely talented, but yet he plays like he doesn't have an ounce of it. He's the kind of player that at the end of the day only cares about winning. That is not made up. I know the guy. I've been texting with him, so excited that he's joining my favorite team, the St. Louis Cardinals. And how would I describe Nolan Arenado? And how would I paraphrase what I just said? Nolan Arenado, it could go 0-for-4 with 4 strikeouts, and he's the first guy on the dog pile for a walk-off winner. That is who Nolan Arenado is. He's not going to go 0-for-4 with 4 strikeouts very often. He has a swing that ages well. What does that mean? It's not a crazy Bryce Harper huge leg kick with all this torque. That's not aging well. Watch him and his head. Just watch Nolan Arenado swing a bat. Google it. Look it up on YouTube. His head stays down through contact better than any player in the game. He's going to age well. He's a defensive wizard. When everybody does their own thing, I'm telling you, there are a lot of comps here. Listen to what I'm about to say. Ozzie Smith had a 6-finger glove playing shortstop. Most players that played short thought that was too big. He wanted to get to everything because he worked on his transfer from the glove to the hand. Nolan Arenado plays with a third baseman's mitt that looks like it's for beer league softball. It's gigantic. He does his own thing. He knows he's better than everybody. By the end of the day, We knew as St. Louis Cardinal fans that we had the greatest defensive shortstop in the history of the sport. That is undeniable. It is Ozzie Smith. By the end of his career, he will be known as the greatest defensive third baseman of all time. I'm sorry, Brooks Robinson, but this is what Nolan Arenado is. He will be the greatest of all time. And for all you cynical fans out there, like, oh, you can opt out. Oh, you can opt out. This is why you have fan bases like St. Louis. You can only make moves like this if you have fan bases like this. Let me tell you why, Chris. When you're looking at numbers, which every front office is doing right now, and they're trying to project how much money they're going to make back, you know, if you're running the St. Louis Cardinals, that the second you can have full capacity, you are going to sell out every single game. When you know that, you're not hoping, you know. You can make moves like this when you know that Nolan Arenado in merchandise alone will make millions of dollars for your organization. Because trust me, there'll be so many Arenado jerseys in that stadium. Okay. You can make moves like this. The Cardinals are thanking their loyal fans for being, in a way, of being loyal back to them. So it's this beautiful circular thing that is happening in St. Louis, and it's why you see the product competitive each and every year.
You can check out my full conversation with Greg at ScoopsWithDannyMac.com or on the Scoops with Danny Mac podcast. Subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. Leave a review, take a screenshot, and tweet it to me at CHRABE. All right, Rick Gaiman coming up in just a moment from RickRungood.com. We'll talk Pebble Beach. We'll talk all things DFS, one and done, golf betting. That's next. It's the Chris Raby Show on a Wednesday on Scoops with DannyMac.com.
Ryan Kelly, the home loan expert, is one of the great sponsors of the program and Scoops with DannyMac.com. And right now is a perfect time to learn about a home loan refinance. You hear the word all the time, but maybe you don't even know what you're doing. Essentially, you're redoing your loan. So in terms of your first mortgage, you're retooling your loan. The home loan expert is paying off your current loan and giving you a brand new loan. You can decide the term, 30 years. You can go shorter. Give them a call. Look at your current mortgage and ask the home loan expert, Ryan Kelly, if they can do anything to improve your situation. It all depends on your goal, and they will work with you. But everyone with a mortgage loan can benefit from calling Ryan Kelly, the home loan expert, today for a free mortgage analysis. Go to thehomeloanexpert.com, thehomeloanexpert.com. Learn about not just the incredible loan offers that they have, but also the incredible customer service, their customer-first approach that separates them from anyone else you could get a mortgage through. Ryan Kelly is the home loan expert online at thehomeloanexpert.com. Schnucks Rewards, one more reason to love Schnucks. Get the app that gets you Schnucks Rewards. The Schnucks Rewards app allows you to earn points every time you shop for money off your next purchase. But there's so much more in the app to simplify shopping. For instance, you can get exclusive digital savings, including over 100 new digital coupons every week. The shopping list helps keep you organized. Add items on the go. Plus, you can share it. Recipes in the app make meal planning easy. Search for recipes by ingredients and add them to your shopping list. Go to schnucks.com and check out more about the app that gets you Schnucks Rewards, the Schnucks Rewards app. Download it on the App Store or Google Play. The Schnucks Rewards app rewards you for shopping at Schnucks. It is the Pebble Beach Pro-Am week, although there are no Ams. And Rick Gaiman, as you pointed out to me before we started chatting, they're losing some pros as well. What's going on, brother? How are you?
Chris, always good to talk to you. Thanks for having me. Yeah, we are losing the pros by the minute here. Obviously, the big news Monday evening, Dustin Johnson, who was a historically short favorite at 4-1, withdrew from this event. So he was making the trek back from Saudi Arabia. He got the victory over there. He's out. Kuchar left. Luke List, Wyndham Clark, Sebastian Munoz. I mean, they're dropping like flies, Chris. You and I are going to be in this field before you know it.
Yeah, maybe. Well, then it would be very, very, very amateur. But we talked about the guys kind of playing back and forth and the field and how good it was last week in Saudi Arabia. And you know what? This is one of the things where I won't complain, Rick. I said last year as sports began to restart that I wouldn't complain about rain delays anymore, or I wouldn't complain about, you know, little inconveniences. I won't complain about Dustin Johnson being out of the field, especially because of the effect that it might have or will have on the betting markets and DraftKings. From that standpoint, how have you already seen it happen? And big picture, what do you think DJ dropping out does in DraftKings contests?
Yeah, you know what? It's actually so interesting. I'm glad you brought that up, kind of putting this all of this into perspective. And the other thing to go along with that, Chris, is that we are about to hit a really unbelievable stretch of golf. You know, we've just got so many great tournaments. We've got Riviera. We've got a WGC coming. We've got Arnold Palmer. You know, the Bay Hill will be here before you know it. There'll be the player. It's just going to be like a sprint here. So we are certainly lucky to have that. Now, when Dustin Johnson withdrew Monday evening, it was pretty late. And I'll tell you what, books were a little slow to react to this. They gave us about 20 minutes, which in our world is an eternity. And eventually, Patrick Cantlay moved from about 10 to 1 to 7.5 to 1. Daniel Berger got much shorter as well. And we are left with a DraftKings player pool where the most expensive player, Patrick Cantlay, is $11,300, which is a very reasonable price for the most expensive golfer. So there have been some ramifications. As I mentioned, Dustin Johnson was 4 to 1. That's unbelievably short, historically short. So there was certainly a crater that was created when he took his name out of the field.
Rick Gaiman with us. The website is rickrungood.com, rickrungood.com, as we talk a little bit about Pebble Beach and what we expect this weekend. From a tournament perspective, I know we kind of chuckle about, you know, no amateurs, and we won't, as I've heard you point out, have the unlikely pairing that our friends in real life talk about their backstories or whatever. But what does this do for play? What does this do logistically, Rick, for the tournament itself?
Yeah, so logistically, we get rid of one course. So this used to be a three-course rotation. So Monterey Peninsula sits it out this year, and we've just got Pebble Beach and Spyglass Hill. So the golfers will alternate on Thursday and Friday at those two courses. We'll make a cut, and we'll head to Pebble Beach for the final two rounds of this event. Also, logistically, without the amateurs, we should get shorter rounds. I mean, these used to be like 6.5-hour rounds on the golf course. We should be much closer to our normal 4, 4.5 hours, but that we get from playing professionals. They're able to put the pin positions in a bit more difficult spots because you don't have a bunch of amateurs out there hacking it up. And then also without the full infrastructure, there has been a bit of lengthening, about 100 yards for each of these courses from last year. So there's a little bit more room out there without the stands, without the need for all that stuff. So logistically, yeah, it has been quite a significant change to this event.
And with just the two-course rotation, that affects shot length and the data that we have over the weekend as well, right?
That is correct. So Pebble Beach is going to be the host course. That's going to be the course that has the shot length data. So technically, we will get three rounds of shot length data versus the two that we would normally get, which, if you ask me, Chris, any extra rounds with shot length data is always a good thing.
You know, I wish the PGA Tour would treat shot length like I treat like iPhone chargers. Like, I just want to buy a bunch of them and have them everywhere so that
everywhere.
I never need to. Yeah, so that, you know, your buddy who only has the one iPhone charger and he like carries it around like it's like metal that was passed down from generation to generation. Like, you need iPhone chargers everywhere. I wish there was just shot length everywhere. A bit apples and oranges, perhaps, but
perhaps,
you know, I wish they embraced that philosophy. There's plenty of money. Buy at least another shot link.
I make the joke that there must be one set of lasers that exist in the entire world, because it makes no sense that they can't have.
Otherwise,
two of these
Nicolas Cage is going to go have to try to find the second set of lasers with a map on the back of a historical document.
It's unbelievable. Yeah. So one day, this billion-dollar company will invest in another set of lasers. That'd be great.
Rick Gaiman is with us. Let's talk about the top of the DraftKings pricing. And as you said, Dustin Johnson out. That means Patrick Cantlay is our most expensive player this week at Pebble Beach. So with no DJ and with Cantlay now the most expensive, and with the distribution now with you know, the expected ownership that you had or would have forecasted for DJ, how does that affect ownership? How does that affect your strategy, especially at the top of the board, Rick?
Yeah, so it's kind of interesting. The DJ thing, the ramifications for us in the industry, it sets back our projected ownership. So usually by the time that we talk, I have those numbers available to you. So I'm kind of guessing at the moment. But you know, Patrick Cantlay, I think is likely going to be very, very popular, upwards of 22-23%, which is pretty significant. And the reason for that is he is a very reasonably priced favorite, $11,300. We don't usually see that. You also have Paul Casey and Daniel Berger, who are the other two golfers over 10K. Daniel Berger coming off of a missed cut where he was very popular last week. And the way that he did it, I don't want to call it a meltdown, Chris. It was kind of like a mini meltdown, you know, bogeyed. I think he was only two over on his final nine holes, but he made some pars on holes that you have to take advantage of. So I think people will generally probably stay away from that. And then Paul Casey, who has been on a great stretch of golf, but most people haven't seen it. He won 2 weeks ago in the Middle East. He played in Saudi Arabia last week. He finished 12th. I think Casey is a great pivot opportunity off of Patrick Cantlay, who I expect to be pretty popular.
Yeah, I think that Berger, maybe we take advantage of the fact that he's generally, I feel like, a shade under-owned, whether it's in DraftKings or the betting markets, and maybe we take advantage of a little recency bias after last week where the MC doesn't tell the entire story of his week.
For sure. And what we have seen, especially from the top players, missing the cut doesn't matter. I mean, these guys can flip a switch. They can figure it out. I mean, Brooks Koepka goes three missed cuts in a row, and then he wins a golf tournament last week in Phoenix. I mean, and I wouldn't necessarily say that for some of the bottom tier guys who are more on momentum, and when they're swinging well, they try to keep it going. But these top end players, you know, a very rare missed cut for Daniel Berger, that he missed the cut on the number. Like, I'm cool with that. No worries here.
How much of your ownership or how much of your total salary are you allocating towards the top of the board, Rick, in a situation like this?
Yeah, so I would actually this board is incredibly top heavy. You know, even when we get a little bit further down the board, I mean, it gets ugly really quickly. So I'd love to get two of these guys. So this is going to be a pretty extreme stars and scrubs lineup making process for me. If I can get both a Casey and a Berger, I think that would be interesting. I'd have to make a lot of concessions down at the bottom. But I mean, you know, I could make the argument that player number 120 in this field is not all that different from player 40 in this field. I mean, it's kind of just an awkward setup that we have here with the strength of field. So I'm really going to rely on the known entities at the top and see how many of them I can get in my lineups.
So when you say at the top, you literally mean those top three guys, or does it extend a little bit deeper?
I mean, I literally mean like Casey and Berger would be great, but there is, you know, anybody. I think it falls off a bit at $8,700. So when you get to Phil Mickelson and Cameron Tringale, which are probably like 15th, 16th in this field, I think that's where it starts to fall off. So whether that means I can get two of the 10K guys, if that's possible, can I get three guys over $8,700 in my lineups? Those are the routes I'm going to try to take as we get closer to lock on Thursday morning and be able to build out all of these lineups. But I really do think you need to allocate a lot of your resources to the top 15 players in this field.
Rick Gaiman with us from rickrungood.com. All right, so then as we make our way a little bit further down towards that 8,700, and then we make our way down into the 7,000s and below, what are you looking at? What price points are you looking at? And what's your strategy if you do end up with a couple of those guys, 8,700 and above?
Yeah, so I'm kind of getting really picky down here, and I'm looking for a couple of things to hang my hat on. Pebble Beach has the smallest greens on the PGA Tour. They're about 3,500 square feet on average. I mean, they're absolutely tiny. So a lot of guys end up missing the green. So most weeks, I hate these short game specialists. I don't really care for them. But this week, you kind of have to look their way. You know, Peter Malnati is $7,800, and he's an absolute nut. I mean, this guy will just bogey five holes in a row. He'll come back, he'll make six birdies. He's kind of a short game specialist. That's where his strengths lie. That's someone that I would target below the $8,000 range because he can bring me something really special. Even Nate Lashley. Nate Lashley is very far down this list. He's $7,100 on DraftKings. He had a top 20 last week. He struck the ball really well in terms of his strokes gained approach numbers. And I know it was, at this point, probably 2 years ago when he went wire to wire at the Rocket Mortgage. But I mean, this guy has the ability to get hot at times. And I think that when you start comparing him to the other guys around, you know, 7,100, 7,500, I think he's a better option. So those are two guys I would certainly look at. And you might need to go deeper in that. I mean, these guys are all kind of dart throws at this point.
You know, big picture question, Rick, as you educate us and have educated us while we chat every week about the analytical side of things, how you use data and how you aggregate that data and eventually spit out a model or models. And again, you can do all of this yourself at rickrungood.com. when you say short game, in the words of in the words of The Office, talk to me like I'm 5 years old. How do you weigh putting versus around the green versus approach? What are we looking at? I know that it often will vary depending on the greens and the success guys have. But when you just say short game like that, what are you looking at? Because I think a lot of us just think putting, and we might go to PGAtour.com and sort by putting stats.
Right. Yeah. So there are four main strokes gain categories. They're off the tee, approach, around the green, and putting. When I say short game, I mean around the green and putting. I mean, literally, like, if you hit your approach into a green and you miss that green, now what? Now you're in the short game mode. So you might have to chip it. Some guys are better at chipping and pitching than others. And then some guys are good at putting and better at putting. I mean, there's really some specific examples of this. You know, Hideki Matsuyama is an I don't want to say he's a great short game player, but his around the green game, his chipping and his putting is phenomenal. I'm sorry, excuse me. His chipping and his pitching is phenomenal.
He'll miss some of the most frustrating 4-foot par putts.
Correct. His putting is unbelievably poor. So if you actually look at the numbers, you'll see that he is actually better than many of his peers chipping and pitching. So that's around the green. And then once he puts the putter in his hand, he's like one of the worst putters on tour. So I would actually say all of that is short game. It's just kind of a couple of different ways to get it done.
All right, Rick Gaiman, give us a couple guys that you like maybe towards the bottom, a couple of value plays, whether it be DraftKings or even on the betting card. Are there any guys that with this field being the way it is, you feel like can make an impact and there's some value because of their number?
Yeah, so I actually think that the randomness of this tournament, where there's kind of a course rotation, I do think it lends itself well to long shots. So I'll start with Brendan Steele. I would not call him necessarily a long shot. He's probably 50-1 in most places. He's been striping it really well. He has legitimate winning upside. I like that. But if you need to go deeper, I wouldn't mind an Andrew Landry. Andrew Landry, $6,900 on DraftKings. You can probably get him for 100 or 150-1. Right, yeah, exactly. You know, he is, if you're going to play a short course where accuracy matters and you don't want to be a high spin player, one of these guys that spins it off the green, that's Andrew Landry. Then I'd also look even further down the list and someone like, oh man, so there's some of these unknown entities down here that I think are pretty interesting. There's Akshay Bhatia. So he's a guy, he literally turned pro instead of going to college. He's very young. He's very raw, but you put him in a situation like this and let his kind of raw skill and raw talent come out. That's someone. And then quickly, Chris, like Brian Gay, there are four events a year where Brian Gay is in a really good spot to succeed. This is one of them. He's got two top 10 finishes here in his last 3 years. And he won in Bermuda like five starts ago. Like, he is not that far removed from a victory. So Brian Gay is probably a guy that I would also deem to have winning upside.
Rick Gaiman from rickrungood.com. Yeah, Bhatia, he, I believe, just turned 19, and didn't he make his debut like 2 years ago on a sponsor's exemption?
Yes, like he is so young. He's so raw. I mean, I saw him in person. He's so light. I mean, this kid, he's got to just fill into his body. Like, he's just kind of awkward.
He's like 100 pounds, does he? Because he's
He's a big lanky lefty, and you know, I think he missed like his first, I don't know, 8 or 10 cuts, but he started to figure it out more recently. You're starting to see glimpses of why he turned pro. So obviously the jury is still very much out on him, but like all the raw talent in the world.
RickRungood.com is the website. We're going to give away a couple of month-long subscriptions so that you can check it out and see all the data for yourself. Make your models, check out the preview videos. All right, man, I'll put you on the spot and put the pressure on you again. What do I want to look for my one-and-done pick this week? Are we thinking that, again, this is a chance maybe to pick up some ground on everyone else because people see deep field or not a great field? Maybe just because of that, people tend to take some longer odd guys in terms of their one and done.
Yeah, I think you're going to see a lot of spread out ownership in one and dones because there's just so many names. You know, you might have used Patrick Cantlay, or you might want to save Patrick Cantlay, you know, so it's not really an obvious choice. I think Jason Day is the course horse. I think people will opt to go there, but I like Francesco Molinari. You know, I'm willing to just completely wipe away his 2020 season. It was really awkward. He only played seven times and he didn't play well when he did. Now he's coming off back-to-back top tens. He's on the West Coast with the family. He's moved out there. He's in a really good spot. And this is a course that sets up really well for Frankie. I think you could get him in a one and done and you'd be, you know, one of a few people who have chosen him.
Rick Gammon. Head to rickrungood.com. You can also check out the CBS First Cut podcast. Follow Rick on Twitter at rickrungood. Appreciate it, brother. Even though you won't get to see Larry the Cable Guy yell "Get her done" into the camera on Saturday afternoon. Have a great weekend. Enjoy the golf, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thank you. I think I will survive without Larry the Cable Guy. Thanks.
You'll get her done. Big thanks to Rick. Don't forget, you can check out my full interview with Greg Amzinger at ScoopsWithDannyMac.com or on the Scoops with Danny Mac podcast. We'll be back tomorrow. Going to have some Cardinals talk with some of the Cardinals in the next couple of days. This has been the Wednesday, February 10th, 2021 edition of the Chris Raby Show. I'm Chris Raby. Until tomorrow, be nice to each other. And as always, peace. We'll turn the speakers-